Amen. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. If you found it, you're able, go ahead and stand out of respect for the Word of God as we read it tonight. Read a few verses, and then we'll pray and get into the message. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 tonight, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." Of course, you read these verses in Sunday school. If you were here and talked about some of these things, we're going to pull one out tonight and really focus on the idea in it. That's in verse 5 when he says this, "But first gave their own selves to the Lord." I preach a message tonight just titled, "To Honor God in Missions, You Must Give Yourself." You must give yourself. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, again. What a blessing it is. I know not a night we normally would be in church, but Lord, it's just good to be in your house. We thank you for the fellowship we can have one with another. Lord, the praises we can sing to you and hear sung to you. God, now as we look to your word, I pray that you'd empty me of myself and sin, fill me with your power. Lord, use me as a mouthpiece in your hand just to deliver your message tonight. God, that's what I want. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each and every heart. Lord, meet each and every need. God, I do pray that your word would have free course and free reign in this place. And that, God, we would all have receptive ears and hearts, that we would hear and heed your word. Lord, that we'd have obedient hands and feet, that we would take it and do with it what you'd have us to do and apply it to our own individual lives. God, again, bind Satan from this place. Help us, Lord, to let your word find that good ground in our hearts so we can spring forth and conform us more to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we could leave here, Lord, closer to you, different than we came. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. To honor God in missions, you must give yourself. You know, we talk about sometimes that someone's all in on something, or are you all in? And I would think, and a lot of the illustrations I'm going to use, you use illustrations, you understand. I grew up loving sports, and so I think about sports. And you can play a sport, but that doesn't mean you're all in to play that sport. There's a difference. And I, growing up, you know, I played some different things. I played Little League Baseball. You know, I ran cross country. And no, I'm just kidding. I did not run cross country. You can all laugh, all right? I played football. I did some different things. But I was never all in on any of them. And there's a difference. What I mean by that was, yeah, I mean, I played, and I understood the sport, and I understood the rules, and I knew what I was supposed to do, and I even enjoyed it. You know, I had a good time doing it. I have fond memories of all of it. I have fond memories at Little League, and I have fond memories of playing football in junior high and high school. I have fond memories of all that stuff. But I was never the guy that was all in. My life wasn't about that. And I would love to tell you it was because it was about spiritual things, but that's not true either. It just wasn't about sports, so that was not what consume me necessarily. And so I played, but I was not all in. There was a big difference. You could have watched me and then watched someone who was all in, and there's a very big difference, even in Little League and in high school sports, but especially if you think about professional athletes. It's a whole nother ball game. You know, I can go out and I could play a pickup game of something, but it's a whole different ball game than these guys that do it for a living, and that's how they make their money and their living, and they make way more than they should for playing with a ball, if we'd be honest. But they're all in on that. And you think about whether you like him or not is not the issue tonight. But LeBron James and even his regimen to stay in shape, he's constantly in shape. And his coach in Miami, Eric Spoelstra, said the reason he thinks that he's had such longevity in the sport is he's never out of shape. He said so many of these guys take the off season and they take it off. He said he doesn't take any time off. He said he works out year-round. He's constantly in the gym. He said he shows up for training camp in just as good a shape as he left the season in. And why? He's all in. That's what he does. And again, we understand that's not what our life should all be about, but the mentality there of just understanding that it's not just that I want to do it, it's not just that I want to be a part of it, but I want it to be what consumes me. I'm all in on it. And the idea tonight of honoring God in missions, we think about missions and we often think, of one thing, and that's money. And it takes money. We'll get there before this week's over. But there's so much more than that, and the reality is, we've got to get over this idea even, the lost world especially would think about with church, that, well, they just want your money, and God just wants your money. That's ridiculous. He not only doesn't want your money, He doesn't need your money. God doesn't need our money. He allows us to be a part of what He does. When you think about the fact that Almighty God could reach the world any way He wanted to, and He chose to use us, God could have had it to where every morning written in the sky in every language was the plan of salvation. And that's how He could have reached the world. He could have sent angels to take on human form. The Bible teaches that they do that. And they could have been the ones that came and delivered the gospel message to the whole world. God could have done a whole lot of things that, to be honest, in my human mind, seem like better ideas than using us who are so often very unreliable. But He chose to use us. And in doing so, we get to be a part. And part of the way we can be a part is by giving. But again, that's not what He wants. He wants us. He wants our life. He wants all of us. And so when the Apostle Paul says this in this text, especially, I think sometimes myself, it's something I've glazed over, not spent a lot of time on. But there's a point to it here when he talks about they first gave their own selves. Of course, he's talking about here them raising the offering for the needs of the saints in Jerusalem. We understand all those things. But when he talked about they gave their own selves, the idea there is these were people that were all in. The reason they gave the way they did is because they were all about taking care of those other saints. They were all about serving the Lord. They were all about being a part. It wasn't just about, oh, another offering. Here's the plate. I'll put something in. That's not what it was. It wasn't even about, oh, it's Faith Promise Missions time. I'm going to fill out a card. It wasn't that. No, their life was about it. And so they gave out of that. And he talks about some things about the way they gave here by way of introduction when he talks about that they were in a great trial of affliction. And they gave out of the abundance of their joy, but out of their deep poverty. They weren't wealthy. And he talks about that they gave beyond what they were able. He said, well, how in the world does that happen? Why would people do that? Because they were all in. Because they'd given themselves before they ever gave a dime. And they wanted the Lord to have their life. And they understood that He has to have my life. And so then when the request for the offering came, it was a no-brainer to them because they were all in. It's what they did. They'd already given themselves to Him. The Apostle Paul makes that point. So I want to talk tonight for just a few minutes about this idea of giving ourselves first. First of all tonight, just some questions and answers we're going to go through and then make some application towards the end here. But the first would be this. What does it mean to give ourselves to God? What does it mean to give ourselves to God? See, a lot of times in services, and I'm guilty of it as a preacher, and I think a lot of preachers are, we preach a message and we don't always give the how you can take it and put it to your life. The application, some call it. Take home truth, some call it. But what does it mean to give yourself? It's easy to get up here and say the Bible says to give yourself to the Lord. What does that mean? What does that mean to give yourself to the Lord? And so as I just prayed about it and looked through the scriptures and different things like that and asked the Lord to guide me, I think we can sum it up with two pretty basic things. The first is we have to surrender our will. To give ourselves to the Lord, we have to surrender our will. You see, far too much of our time is spent consumed with what I want, what I need, what I have to do, what my day is about, what is going on in my life, me. And that's what consumes us so often. Well, we'll never give ourselves to the Lord as long as that's how we are. We have to surrender our will to Him if we're going to give ourselves to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity, when He prayed in the garden, and of course we understand Him to have been 100% God and 100% man, except He had no sin nature. That's the one thing He didn't have that you and I have, because He had no earthly father. The bloodline comes from our father. Sin nature was passed down by our father. We know that because Romans 5:12 says that by one man, sin entered into the world. That man was Adam. So understanding that, he didn't have sin. But in the garden, even in his humanity, he had things that he would have preferred to the cross, no doubt about it. And we have to remember that when he prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible talks about him agonizing in prayer. He knew what was ahead. And it wasn't just that he knew he was going to die. He knew all the details. He knew what he would feel physically. He knew that God would have to turn his back on him. And he may have known, because he was God, he knew the details about that, but he'd never experienced it before. The Godhead had never been separated in all of eternity, and it never will again. But when God poured his wrath on Jesus Christ because the sins of the world were on him, he had to turn his back on him. And that's why on Calvary he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't say Father. They were separated at that point. And he knew he would go through all that. So, of course, in his humanity, he didn't want to have to do that. And that's why he said, Lord, if it be possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. But then he ended with, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the idea is you and I far too often are very consumed with our own will. And we can apply it to any situation, not just missions and not just giving and not just serving the Lord. It's that way when it comes to how we interact with other believers. It's that way when it comes to our obedience to the Lord day in and day out. It's all about our will. And to be giving ourselves to Him, we've got to surrender our will. It can't be about my will. My will's got to be gone. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said he died daily. Obviously, he didn't mean that he died physically daily. That's not what he was talking about. But he was talking about that he died to himself. Why? So that his will wouldn't get in the way. It couldn't be about him. And so he died daily. And the idea there is that a dead man has no will and has no desires. And I don't say that to be morbid or unkind, but if you've been to a funeral, we all have. The person who's deceased and their body there in the casket, they don't have a lot of desires and will that they want to talk to everybody about. Why? Because they're dead. When Paul said, I die daily, what he was saying is, I die to myself. I don't let myself, I don't let my will come back. I've surrendered that to the Lord. And so to give ourselves to God first means to surrender our will. Second, it's not just to surrender our will to His will, but it's to submit to His will. We have to submit to His will. The book of James talks about submitting ourselves to God and the idea of submitting to His will. It's not just enough to put mine aside. I have to do His. And can I just tell you that sometimes the will of God is not what we want? Let's just be honest tonight. Listen, we don't have to sugarcoat it and act like everything in God's will is roses and cherries and it's all I've ever... No, there's some things that God expects us to do that in our flesh we don't want to do. There's a reason that Peter asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? Because he didn't want to keep doing it. And in his flesh, his desire was not to be an infinitely forgiving person. No, I guarantee you he was hoping that Jesus would say, yeah, 7 times is pretty good, Peter. At time 8, you can clock him. I really think that's what Peter wanted to hear. Why? Because his flesh was not to be a forgiving person ongoing. And he thought, man, I'm being generous. 7 times and I still haven't hit the guy? Come on, Lord, that's good, right? And Jesus said 70 times 7. And what he meant was not you have to forgive 490 times, and on 491 you don't have to. No, he meant you always forgive. Listen, that's a part of the will of God that in our flesh we don't want to do. I don't want to be forgiving like that. When I'm wrong, I want to hold that. I don't want to forgive someone. I don't want to restore someone to the fellowship that God wants me to. No, I'd rather mark that person and go, I'm done. That's what our flesh wants. We have to submit to His will. Sometimes it comes down to our responsibilities that are God-given in our lives, whether it's just as a Christian man or a Christian woman, or in our families as a husband or as a wife or a child. Listen, there's all kinds of things about God's will that are not necessarily in our flesh what we want to do. But it's still His will. And if we're going to give ourselves to Him, that has to be submitted to. Lord, that I'll do what You tell me to do. And if You want me to do this, I'm going to do my best to do that. And if You want me to do that, You're going to have to help me, but I'll do it. And that's the idea, to give ourselves to God. We surrender our will, and we submit to His will. Second tonight, the second question that came to mind when thinking about this idea of giving ourselves to the Lord was this: why should we give ourselves to God? Why should we give ourselves to God? Now, we could all be very pious and pharisaical and say, well, because it's right. And of course, we all know that to be true. But while that sounds good in conversation, while we're inside the church talking to our Christian brothers and sisters, the reasoning of just it's the right thing to do doesn't get very far on Monday. It doesn't get very far on Tuesday. No, we've got to have a Bible reason. We've got to know, why do I have to do these things that are hard? And I think there's a couple. First of all would be this. We should give ourselves to God because we belong to Him. We belong to Him. The book of 1 Corinthians makes very clear that we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He owns us. And again, when we think about the fact that when I got saved, I no longer have to go to hell, then that's exciting. That makes us shout. We get happy about that. I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. Man, that's awesome. But the reason that's true is because He bought me. He bought me. And again, in our culture, in our society, in this day and time, this is not a thought we even like to entertain. But you put it in biblical context, and the word servant, most of the time in the New Testament, is really the idea of a bond servant. You see, what he means? Someone who's owned. That's what it means. When Paul would say, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, what Paul was saying is, I was on the auction block and he paid for me. That's what Paul was saying. He owns me. He bought me with his blood. I'm his property. No, we don't like to think like that, but that's a reality. And that's why we get to go to heaven. But the flip side of that coin is that's why we ought to give ourselves to God. We belong to him. We are his. We are his. You see, it's kind of back to what we talked about yesterday afternoon, if you were here, and the idea that we want God to honor us. We want him to make much of us. We want him to take care of us. But the flip side of that coin is we want the blessings and benefits that come from belonging to God. Joint heirs with Jesus, part of his family, eternal life, that he is always with us. So many things we go on and on with. But the flip side of that coin, as I've already said, is that that means we belong to him and we have to do what he expects. We have to do what he expects. And contrary to popular opinion today in so-called Christendom, God does expect things from us. But just love Jesus and that's all that it takes. That's nowhere in the Scripture. But there's a whole lot of places in the Bible that talk about what God expects from me, what he wants from me every day of my life. And it starts that he wants me. He wants me to give myself to him. And the reason I should is because I belong to him anyway. And if you're saved in here tonight, you belong to him as well. You belong to him as well. The second reason that we ought to give ourselves to the Lord is right here in our text in verse number 5. He says, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The other reason we should give ourselves to God is it's his will. It's his will. We think about and talk about the will of God, and we understand God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will is that every human being would be saved. Now, God knows in his foreknowledge not every human being will be saved. He knows that. But his will, his desire is still that they would all be saved. That's what he wants. We understand as believers that God's will for us is that we would follow him in believers' baptism and be part of a local New Testament church and be active and involved and serve him and reach the lost. There's lots of things we think about being the will of God, but the reality is it starts with us giving ourselves to him. That's his will. His will for me is that he would have all of me. His will for me is that he would have all of me. What does it mean to give ourselves to God? It means to surrender our will and submit to his will. Why should we give ourselves to God? Because we belong to him, because it's his will. The third question tonight about this idea is, how do we give ourselves to God? How do we give ourselves to God? It's great to understand what it means to do it, but then how do I do it? When Monday rolls around, when Tuesday rolls around, what does it mean? How do I give myself to God? Go to Romans 12 with me. Go to Romans chapter 12 with me. Again, not pretending at all that this is an exhaustive list tonight of how we can give ourselves to God, but I think three very clear ways and three very clear things we do to give ourselves to him are found here in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Very familiar verses. Many of you, if not all of you, could probably quote them. Verse 1 says, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, there it is again, will of God. How do we give ourselves to God? First of all, according to the text here in Romans 12, we present ourselves as a sacrifice. We present ourselves as a sacrifice. You know that everything that we've just talked about as far as what it means to give ourselves to God and why we would give ourselves to God is pictured in a sacrifice. When they would bring a lamb, or they would bring a bullock or whatever the sacrifice was. Some of them demanded doves and different things. We understand that. But whatever it was, that sacrifice surrendered its will. There was no speaking up of, hey, I don't want to die. They didn't do that. They were the sacrifice. They submitted to the will of the person offering them. They didn't have a say in the matter. Why? Because they belong to them. Those that had animals would bring of their flock. Those that didn't would buy them. Either way, they still owned the sacrifice. It was theirs. It was their property. And then it was the will of the one offering the sacrifice to offer the sacrifice. All those things apply in this idea of being a sacrifice. But the blessing to you and I is what he says when he says to present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, it's not God's will for every Christian to die for him a martyr's death. That is his will for some. In Bible times, it was for many. And can I say still today around the world it is for many. There's Christians martyred all around the world in countries. We don't know what that's like. We don't even really know what persecution's like. In America, we've been spoiled. And so no, in our once we get saved, it's not a guarantee that, hey, God wants you to die for him. That's not the God we serve. But he does expect you to give him your life. He does expect you to give him your life. He expects you to give yourself to him as a sacrifice, knowing what that means, knowing that I lay aside my own will, I submit to his will, knowing I belong to him, and knowing that it's his will that I do this, and then whatever he says, that's what I'm going to do. Whether that means that he just wants me to be faithful and active in the local church he plants me in and be involved in missions giving and praying for missionaries, or whether he would choose to send me to the mission field. That's his decision. It's not my decision. That's what being a sacrifice means. I give up the right to make my decisions, and I give that over to him. Can I just tell you tonight, he'll do a far better job than I could anyway. But that's what it means to be a sacrifice. Lord, what would you have for me? God's will for each and every one of us is different outside of his revealed will. We know that. There's things he's revealed for all of us, to read his Bible, to pray, to be faithful to his house, to give tithes and offerings, to be a witness. We're all supposed to do that. But then he has a personal will for each one of us. And it's different for every one of us. For some of us, God does call us into the ministry. Myself and your pastor know God has called us into the ministry. And then he takes us and puts us where he wants to. We serve at the pleasure of the King of Kings. For some, it's that God provides me a job to make a living so that I can support his work financially and be involved in my church. Praise the Lord for that. But he has a personal will for us. And the reality is that as a sacrifice, I don't get to decide what that is. And if God was to come to me and say, I want you on the mission field, that's his decision. And my only response is to be, yes, Lord. I'm his. I'm a sacrifice. We talk about missions and a lot of times focusing on this in the times of year our churches do that sort of thing. One of the great fears, it seems like, in Christians' minds going way back is, what if God calls me, or what if God calls one of my children to go to the jungles of Africa? Can I just say, if that's where God calls you, you're not safe anywhere else. Because if that's his will, that's where you've got to be. And he'll protect you and he'll take care of you. And if that's where he wants you, you're not as safe here in the United States. Right here in Leavenworth, Kansas, as you would be in the jungles of Africa. That's where God wants to put you. Why? Because when we're in his will, he takes care of us. And he won't let anything happen that's not his will and not within his will. That doesn't mean no bad things happen. Sometimes it's within the will of God to allow bad things to happen. Just ask Job. But when it's within the will of God, God always makes a way and always takes care of the details, even when it's not everything we hoped it'd be. We give ourselves to God by presenting ourselves as a sacrifice. Secondly, right here in the text, two more things he shows us that we have to do if we're going to give ourselves to God. The next thing is this: we don't conform to the world. Be not conformed to this world. That word conformed is a fantastic word. The best illustration I've ever heard of that was Brother Joe Decker. And Brother Joe Decker at a youth rally, and he preached a message on this passage, and he pulled Plato out. And he said that word conform, and Brother Decker preaches to a lot of kids, does a lot of camps, does a lot of VBSs, and so he's fantastic with illustrations and object lessons. I wish I could be good at that. But for this word conform, he said it's literally the idea. And he had the Play-Doh, and then he had the little forms you can put it in. And he said, so I put this Play-Doh in here, and it was a star, if I remember right, and he smashed it down. He said, no, it's a star. He said, because it conformed to this mold. He said, that's what the word means. So when it says not to conform to the world, what it's saying is not to be like the world is. Don't go into their form and come out just like they are. We shouldn't think like them. We shouldn't see things the way they do. We shouldn't talk like them or act like them. We shouldn't dress like they do. We shouldn't talk like they do. There's a lot of things about the world we shouldn't be doing. Because the Bible tells us to come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. But it's that idea of not conforming. Just like Plato can conform, we're not to do that. We're not to do that. We shouldn't be conformed to this world. Although that's the goal of our world system, is to conform everybody. To conform everybody. It's always been interesting to me. I worked with youth at the beginning of my ministry and then pastored. But when teenagers, and it's never changed. The details of it always changed. But the teenagers that would say, well, I dress this way and I listen to this and I do this because I'm not going to be like everybody else. But you know what's funny is they look like 75% of all the other teenagers. They're listening to the same thing 75% of the other teenagers are. But hey, I'm going to be an individual. Well, they're conforming. They're conforming. We can't do that as believers. We can't conform. Why? Because if we're going to give ourselves to God, we can't be in the world's mold. We have to be His. And He addresses that. The third thing is this. We have to let God's Word transform us. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind is renewed by the Word of God. Literally the idea of our thinking being remade and of us being remade. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the idea there is that God transforms us. He transforms us. I remember being a kid and playing with Transformers, the toys. You know, robots in disguise, more than meets the eyes. Those cartoons are fantastic. But anyway, what they were, obviously, and most of you know, I don't have to tell you, but they looked like one thing, but then they turned into some robot. And then you could fight against other robots. It was awesome. It was a little boy's dream. But anyhow, they transformed. Well, that's what we're to do. Listen, we shouldn't be anything like we were before salvation. Once God saves us, if we allow the Holy Spirit to remake us, we should be entirely different. Transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now listen, that takes a lifetime. And we still won't get all the way there. That's why the Bible talks about that our salvation is not complete until we get to glory and have our glorified body. Why? Because we're going to fight this sin nature the whole time we live on earth. There's no way to get rid of it. But we should become more and more like Jesus Christ every day of our life. That's what sanctification means, to be set apart and more like Him. That's what happens when He transforms us. By the way, it makes clear in this two things that are very interesting, just as side notes. Giving ourselves as a sacrifice, He says, is your reasonable service. So for me to give myself to Him, God says it's reasonable. Now listen, in my mind, in your mind as human beings, that doesn't seem so reasonable. We would give everything, but then you remember that He sent His only begotten Son. Die the worst death a human being could ever die and have God separate Himself from him, all for my sin. Yeah, the least I could do is live for Him. That's what God's saying here. It's reasonable. It's reasonable. And then He talks about with being transformed so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our life is to do that. When we give it to Him, it shows that to others. It's part of how we're to be a witness, is that we're transformed. Lastly tonight, this idea of giving ourselves. We're going to honor God in missions, we have to first give ourselves. If we've not given ourselves, it really doesn't matter how much money we get. But it doesn't matter how much money we get. You see, well, money can get things done. It can, but that's not what God wants. He wants us. He wants us. Lastly tonight, the question is this, and this is more application for us, is have we given ourselves to God? Have we given ourselves to God? Three things quickly tonight about this for application's sake, and then we'll be done. And again, the Holy Spirit can apply this to our lives in a whole lot more ways than this. These are the three God laid on my heart. First, and on a Monday night, only God knows your hearts, but I would assume that we know this one, but have you given yourselves to God in salvation? That's where it starts. You can't give yourself to Him if you've never received Him as your Savior. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've not repented of your sin and put your faith and trust in Him, you can't give yourself to Him. Have we given ourselves to Him in salvation? That's where it starts. That's where it begins. That's when He begins to make us brand new. I love that in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when it's given the idea of old things are passed away and all things have become new. It's not talking about refurbishing or renovating. It's talking about totally making brand new. It's all new. That's how God works in us. But salvation is where it starts. Second, have we given ourselves to God as a sacrifice? That one applies to every Christian. Have we given ourselves to Him as a sacrifice? Have we given ourselves to the Lord? Like these that Paul was talking about in these churches of Macedonia, they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's what he was talking about, that God had all of them. They were sacrificed to Him. They desired to please Him. They weren't concerned with what they wanted, but with what God wanted. And that's what marked their lives. And that's why, when there was this need, they had no problem giving beyond what they were able, because they knew it's all God's anyway. We're going to take care of this need, and God will take care of us. But have we given ourselves as a sacrifice? It's not something that just happens. Well, I mean, I got saved, and you know, I'm here and faithful, and I try to do right, so yeah, I've done that. No. It's a decision we make. It's a commitment to surrender our life to the Lord as a sacrifice for Him, just for whatever He wants. It doesn't mean necessarily that He's going to call us into the ministry. It doesn't mean I'm going to end up on the mission field. It just means, God, here's my life. Do with me what you want. It may mean that He wants me to witness my neighbors, and it does. It may mean that He wants me involved in my local church, and however that way is, whether it's in the teaching ministries or in the music or whatever. That's some ways we serve the Lord. But we give ourselves to Him as a sacrifice. And then lastly, the third one, have we given ourselves to God? Have we given ourselves to God and surrendered to His call to full-time ministry? Listen, I don't think tonight, and I don't presume to try to convince everybody, that God wants everyone in the ministry. Because it's not true. God doesn't want everyone in the ministry. God's will for every Christian is not to be vocationally in the ministry. That's not His will. His will is for every Christian to be a full-time Christian. Meaning, I'm a Christian at my job, I'm a Christian at home, I'm a Christian in my neighborhood. You don't check that at any door. I'm always a Christian. But I'm talking about vocationally tonight. The call for a man to preach his word, and then whatever direction that may mean. Or for a lady to serve him full-time and look for God's will in her life. God's still calling people to that. God's still calling people to that. And it's very possible that God's dealing with somebody in here about that. Have you given yourself to God in that way if that's what He wants? Now listen, if that's not what He wants, then that's not what He would want you to do. I had a teenager one time when I was a youth pastor, and his dad was one of our associate pastors at the church, and he was very bothered that God wouldn't call him to the ministry. And I said, "Why are you bothered by that, bud?" And he said, "Because I've told the Lord I'm willing." I said, "That's all He wants." And he said, "But He won't call me." And I said, "It's obviously not His will for your life." I said, "What's wrong with that?" I said, "What do you think He wants you to do?" He told me, and I said, "You think God doesn't need people in that field? You think God doesn't need faithful church members to work a job like that, that can come and tithe and be a part and give to missions and serve in ministry?" I said, "I guarantee you He does. God obviously just doesn't want to call you into the ministry. That's not His will for you." I said, "It's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. Find God's will for you and do it." But there are still some people that is His will. And I'm convinced today that there's many that God is calling that are not responding, that aren't saying yes. We have to give ourselves to Him even in that way, if that's what He wants. To honor God in missions, you have to give yourselves. As we close tonight, simple question is this: have you given yourself to the Lord? Have you given yourself to the Lord? If not, today's the day to start.